Amen. So last week we started a sermon series called All In. There are things in life that we are all into it. And last week I talked about God's love for us, how God is all in. He knows everything there is to know about you, the perfections and imperfections, the good and the bad, and He still chooses to love us. Today I'm talking about knowing God, because in my mind, and I think in the scriptures, it goes this way. God loves us, and that opens the door for us to take advantage of so many great things, right? So God loves us, and the more you know somebody when you know somebody loves you, the automatic thing to do is to know that person, right? To get to know that person. So you, as God loves us, we want to know Him, and the more we know God, the more we love Him, right? That's next week's sermons, loving God. And then the more you love God, the more you want to follow Him, the closer to Him you want to be. So that will be 2 weeks from now, which is following God closely. So today we're talking about knowing God, being all in our knowledge of God. Let me start with the theme. The theme for today is this: deep knowing of God results in authentic transformation of self, which is the core of the Christian walk. That's the theme for us today. It is that deep knowing of God results in on this transformation, this authentic transformation of ourselves, which is the core of our Christian walk. I remember back in 2001 when I first met Laura, right, my wife. There is a little funny story about that. One of these days I'll talk to you about. She's looking at me funny already. So we had a little funny story. We got in a little, argument, and I just started noticing each other after that, right? So we just started noticing each other, making eye contact, talking more with each other. Every place she went, I went. Every place I went, she went, And then after, we could really, proclaim our that we are in a relationship. Then after that, we start calling each other and talking all night. You know the silly things that people in love does, right? They call and talk all night, and they're up late at night and all this stuff. And so as I start to get to know my wife, I became more and more in love with her, right? The more you got to know her, the more in love I became. So when I got married, I believed that I loved Laura deeply. On our wedding day, as I looked at her walking down the aisle towards me, I never would have believed that I'd love Laura more than I did it at that time. I had known her for about 2 years by that time, and had spent several hours just being with her, listening to her talk and watching her interact with other people. But now she was walking down the aisle towards me, looking absolutely beautiful, and intended to pledge herself to me. I was emotional, and I felt that my heart would explode with the love I felt for my wife. We're welcome. I got to get something out of this. Because when you tell your wife you love her too much, it comes back to bite you later, right? But it's true. I was emotional. I felt like my heart would explode as I was looking at Laura and she walking. And I was like, wow. But you know what? It has been 15 years into the marriage, and I can honestly tell you now that I love my wife more today than I did then. I can honestly look all of you guys in the eyes and my wife in the eye and say, I love you more today. Whoops, you weren't here in the first service. Than I did 15 years ago when I first married her. You might be asking me, why is that, Sam? How is that possible? And it is simply that I know her so much better today. The more I learn about my wife, the more I learn about Laura, the more I know her, the more I fell in love with her, and the love just increased. This is only possible because there is an ongoing, this devoted relationship, not an objective relationship, but only this devoted relationship between Laura and I. So to know Laura is to love her, and to love Laura is to continue in my growing knowledge of my wife. I remember in my dad's church back in the day, this lady, she came to church and she was like, I am in a relationship with someone and I'm going to marry him. So many months passed and she had a wedding date and she was going to get married and my dad was supposed to do the wedding. So the date comes closer and everybody's like, you know, knows that, is excited for her. The church, everybody's excited for her. And so we all get ready and we go to the wedding. People all get ready and they go to the wedding and gets there. She's dressed up. She comes in this car and she's beautiful. She comes off the car and everybody's looking at her and all the guests sitting at the place, and where's the groom? Where's the groom? Everybody thinking that the groom didn't show up, but reality is that the guy that she was in a relationship with, that she was going to marry, never knew that there was in a relationship with her and that was the day of his wedding. It's a funny story. You can laugh. It is sad too because it's not about knowing someone. It is about being known by that person. So knowledge is not, it is a mutual thing. It's not about knowing of. It is experiencing. It is living life together. It is growing in your relationship, growing in your knowledge, and just knowing more and more and more about that person. And I don't think the relationship with God, it is different. You cannot say, I know God, and I'm going to be this with God, and God doesn't know about it. The Bible is clear in Matthew that it is not only about knowing God, it's about God knowing you too. I'm telling you this story because as a basis of relationship, I believe that if you are invested, devoted in your relationship, and especially your relationship with God, then the more you get to know God, the more you love Him. To know God is to love God, and to love God is to know God. I have that statement up there for you, and I want you just to pay attention. It says this, to know God is to love God, and to love God is to know God. I don't know how to put it any more clear. Here's the thing, the more you know of God, the more your love will be for God. The less you know God, the less it's going to be your love for God. How much do you love God? It's based on how much you know of Him. So knowing and loving God becomes a very important aspect of our Christian walk. And you're tired of me talking, right? Let's read the Word of God. Let's see what the Word of God has to say about knowing God. And I think the Word of God has some surprise thing to tell us about knowing God. The first verse I want to read to you is John chapter 17, verse 3. Listen, this verse is one of those verses that drives me, okay? If you want to know one of those biblical verses that drives me, this is one of them. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 5 through 11 is another one that drives me. But this is one that drives me, okay? This is what Jesus himself is telling his disciple. This is not Sam saying. This is not John saying. This is John recording what Jesus himself said, okay? Jesus said this. This is eternal life, that they, the disciples, may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus is saying that, do you want to know what eternal life is all about? You got to start knowing God. The knowledge of God is to live eternal life. So many of us are waiting to live eternal life when we pass away. Listen, this is not it. You can start living eternal life right here, right now, because to know God, it is possible today. There's so many benefits to being Jesus Christ and to live in eternal life today. It is one of them. If eternal life is to live with God and to reap all the good benefits that is to be in Jesus, man, you don't have to wait to take advantage of all of that. You can start today. Don't you love that? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I love that word know there, because this is the Greek word gnosko. It's much more the intellectual knowledge, gathering factors. It is experience. It is to know by experience. To know God is the basis of attaining eternal life. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11, which is a great chapter. The author of Hebrews is talking about the new covenant that Christ has given us, this new covenant of God. And the chapter is a beautiful chapter. I would encourage you to read it. But in there he says this: They shall not teach each one his neighbors and each one of his brothers, saying, "Know the Lord, for they shall all know me." Like there he's highlighting, listen, God has given us this time in our lives where knowing God is not to be taught, it's to be experienced. You don't have to be telling people, go know God. No, God is going to be right there in your heart, in your life, and you can just experience him. That's the time where we're living, with the new covenant, where we can experience God. Stop talking, stop teaching, start living. We all have goals in life. Paul, the Apostle Paul, I really appreciate him. And here in Philippians, I have another verse for you there. Philippians chapter 3:10, he says this: my goal in life, he's telling the Philippian church, my goal in life is that I may know Jesus, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and my share and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. He's like, my goal in life, it is to know God, because that's where life is found, is knowing Jesus. And he's like, I can't care less what happened next, because I know that to live with Jesus, to know Jesus, to live based on your knowledge of God, it is the best for life. John chapter 1. First John 4, verse 7 to 8, we read this: beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's not only about getting the facts, it is about living like you know God. And because God loves us, he gave his life for us, we are able to love back. And only those who know God can live a life of love. Knowing God is transformational. I would like to make an absolute statement here this morning. And this is the statement: you can really only love God in as much as you know him. You can really only love God in as much as you know him. How much do you know God? How much do you know God? What is your knowledge of God? Here's the thing about knowing God is that we want to know what is convenient of God. We're never into knowing God deeply, right? We just know, we want to know what is convenient of them, of him, right? Of the Trinity. So it's like people. We just want to know what is convenient of the individual. When it starts to be uncomfortable, what you say? You better keep your distance. Isn't that how it is most of the time? Right? And this is why marriage is so difficult, because you start to get to know the person to the point that it's like, it is annoying at times, right? Isn't that how it is? But not with God. No, God wants you to know him completely. The word of God, this is the history of God. God has revealed himself to us, and he wants us to know him completely. Last week I said this: we love people based on incomplete knowledge. Remember me saying that? And that's true. We love them as far as we know them. And today, I just want to add to that and say, you can really only love God in as much as you know Him. I've said it before, I said it again. If you know this much about God, you love that much about Him. If you know this much about God, you know this much about Him. How much do you know about God determines how much you love Him. And here's the good news that for you and I is that God wants us to know Him completely. But there is consequences for not knowing God. There's consequences for the lack of knowledge of God. So that's why knowing God completely is important. I love the book of Hosea. That's one of those books that it is interesting. I don't know how to put it for you, okay? It is interesting. I'm going to read from Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and then 6. Here, let me give you a little background of the book of Hosea, right? Hosea is a prophet, and God is through him wanting to speak to Israel. So God tells Hosea this, hey, listen, there is a prostitute down the street, and I want you, a man of God, the prophet, to go there and marry her. What in the world just happened? Right? How many of you guys have spent some time with the book of Hosea? Right? So God looked at him and he goes out, and he rescued that lady, prostitute, from her life. And marry her, bringing her home, but over and over and over again, she cheats on him. She often would go on the streets and sleep with some guys, and he would go there, pick her home, and pick her back, and put her back home. It was a great analogy of God's love for Israel, for God's people. God is saying this, I have devoted myself for you. I love you completely, but you, Israel, but you, God's people, you keep cheating on me. You keep going out and worshiping other gods and worshiping other things and making things up to worship. That's not cool. I don't like that. I want you to be mine and be mine only. And so many times I think of us, the church, how we cheat on God. We are always pursuing some other things but God, right? We are always after money. We are always after power. We are always worshiping pride. We are listening to other things and forgetting about God and going out and being with some other people. God is calling us back to Him. It's like, I am a jealous God. We want to know God how much is as far as convenient for us. And so when sometimes I talk about God disciplining us and God and the wrath of God or the justice of God, or the jealousy of God, we forget that God has given all and He is a jealous God. How many of us like to see our spouse going out with some other people? Everybody here? Nobody, right? Neither does God. He died on the cross for you and I, and now we're going to go around town? He can't help but to be jealous. He is a jealous God. There must be some wrath that comes with that too, doesn't it? Don't talk to my wife or you're going to see the wrath of Sam right there. Do you see that? Don't mess with this thing. Right? I joke around, but it's true. So we want to know the whole thing of God. And so he in Hosea, he's trying to bring his people back to him. Say, like, listen, no more of this. Come back to me. And here on chapter 4, this is what we read. Hosea chapter 4, verses 1, 3, and 6. This is what it says. Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. The Lord has brought charges against you. You've been doing some things wrong, and he's bringing it up. There is no faithfulness, no kindness, no knowledge of God in your land. You make vows, and you break them. You kill and steal, and you commit adultery. There is a violence everywhere. There is violence everywhere, one murder after another. That is why your land is in mourning, and everyone is wasting away. My people are being destroyed because they do not know me. Wow. Listen, I don't know about you, but that wasn't fitting to Israel back in the day. That's fitting for us today. given about all the tragedies that's going all around us, think about last night. What just happened yesterday. Listen, I know that the reason why there is like killing and stealing and adultery and even in the world, not because of God, but because of the lack of God. Because of lack of God's knowledge. We have lacked God's knowledge, and the people around us lack God's knowledge. Therefore, we are wasting away. You don't understand how important church is, do you? You don't understand how important evangelism is, preaching the word of God, living life in a way that others understand who God is, because people are wasting away out there, and the solution is in the knowledge of God. And guess who has that knowledge? Guess who has that knowledge? You. You have that knowledge. Why are you getting that knowledge, putting it in your pocket, and walking away with it? Why are you getting a Chester draw? A chest of drawers. By the way, that's why I got married, okay? So she would help me with English. Why are you getting that, put it in there, locking it, the knowledge of God in there, locking the key and swallowing it up? Look, can you go back to those verses, please, sir? It is up to you and I to stop with the violence and the murder and the adultery, not by acting out with banners and doing all kind of crazy stuff, but to sharing the knowledge of God that you have, that I have, with those around us who doesn't. So people would go from being faithless to faithful, from no kindness to kindness, and growing in the knowledge of God. What puzzles me the most is that last verse, verse 6. He says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So many times in our own lives, we're being destroyed because of our lack of knowledge of God. How much you love God not only determines how much you know God, not only determines how much you love God, but how much you live for God. Hosea, as a prophet of God, was called to uncover the sin and disobedience of Israel. And one of the main themes on his ministry was the knowledge of God and what it means to know Him. In speaking of God's mercy, he speaks these words on behalf of God on Hosea chapter 2, verses 20. He says this, I'll be faithful to you and make you mine, and you will finally know me as the Lord. See that? I'll be faithful. God will be faithful. And He'll make us His. Israel His. Us, the church. He'll make us His so that we'll know Him. When he explains why God is going to judge the people, he says this on Hosea chapter 5, verses 4. Their deeds do not permit them to return to their God. The spirit of whoredom is within them, and they know not the Lord. He calls them to repentance, saying, on Hosea chapter 6, 3, he calls them to repentance, says, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of God. Man, that's the goal of us Christians, to get to know God. You can't know God if you don't do some things like spending time with the guy, right? It's like that, like so many times we walk in life like that lady in my dad's church who wanna be married and never spend time with the guy she's marrying. The guy didn't even know she was devoted to him. Isn't that sad? But many Christians are walking that way. Speaking of for God again, just a few verses later, in Hosea chapter 6:6, he says this, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. God wants to be known by us in a way that demands that we strive to pursue the knowledge of God. It is the goal of your life to know God. See, there's three ways in which knowledge works. We have this just this intellectual thing, right? Intellectual knowledge. We are all about intellectual, right? We gather all these facts and we put it on a plate and then we put it in our head, like boom. It's like a chip, right? It's like a pen drive. You just put it all there, you put it in your head, you download it, and there it stays. Just intellectual knowledge. I mean, everybody has intellectual knowledge of God. Even atheists who does not believe in God has some sort of intellectual knowledge of God because they got to know some things about God so that they can defeat it. But we need to go beyond that kind of knowledge. I like what J.I. Packer says. He says it's a little knowledge of God is worth more than a great deal of knowledge about Him. It is not about having knowledge about God. It is about knowing Him, experiencing Him. J.I. Packer is highlighting the difference between devoted, experiential, intimate relationship with God than a like objective relationship with God. God wants us to know Him by experience. So we need to move from intellectual to experiential knowledge of God. A knowledge that allowed us to experience in God. It's like this microphone. It's like everybody knows of a microphone, but nobody has really grabbed one and opened it and see what is inside, which battery does it take, and what else can I do with one of these? Have you ever get a microphone and open up to see what is in the inside? Have you ever experienced one? No, we just know of one. Oh, people sing with it. Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Now, I don't know if I can put this back together. One. Yeah, it works. Right? So the more you experience, the more accustomed you are with it. Right? Isn't that how it works? So God wants you to know Him intellectually, of course, but He wants you to move on beyond that and to experience Him so that as you experience God, you can live life for Him. I love what Thomas Merton says. He says this: we must know the truth, we must love the truth we know that we know, and we must act according to the measure of our love. It's not only about knowing, it's not about experience, it's about living in the way that demonstrates how much you know and how much you love. D.A. Carson says this: to know God is to be transformed and thus to be introduced to a life that could not otherwise be experienced. Listen, to know God is to be transformed by God, because you cannot meet Him, know Him, experience Him, and remain the same. There isn't one story in the Bible where people met Jesus, experienced Jesus, and their life wasn't transformed. There isn't. If you find it, come tell me. We need to move from intellectual knowledge to this experiential knowledge, to a practical way of living that knowledge, to practical knowledge, where our lives express what we know of God. We need to obey Him. We need to worship Him. We need to trust Him. And that's some of the demonstrations of our love for Him. Let me finish this sermon with four questions for you. Do you truly know God? And I'm not talking about a know of God, about God. I'm talking about, have you experienced God? Do you live in a practical way that demonstrates how much you love God? Are your minds filled with the knowledge of God? Do you desire to know more about God as a dry land cries out for rain? Are you like that dry land that is cracked up and wanting that rain to come and make everything smooth again? Do your lifestyle display the knowledge of God? Display how much you know of God? I love what A.W. Tozer say. Worship team, you can come forward. I love what A.W. Tozer says. He says this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Well, I love that. I love that. He says this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. When I say the word God, what is it that you think of? What is it about God that you know? Is it just the convenient part of it? Or do you know the whole thing? How are you pursuing the knowledge of God? Our image of God shapes our spiritual direction in our future. And you need to be aware of that. Last week, in your weekly, I gave you 10 things to study on the love of God. Did you do your homework? Let me mark here. I gave it to you because you need to know more about God's love for you. I want you to be comfortable with that. That's the whole point of Sam Rosa. It's to get you to understand more God's love for you and to live on that love, but also for you to know God more. So this week there's 10 more. See? It's 10 more. It's 3 different passages with 10 different points for you to go through the week and read about God, so that you can know the God that you serve, But here's the thing. I want you to read it, those passages, and to pray that you, throughout that day, would experience just that about God. Because it's not about having a fact about God, right? So, for example, the second one says this: the all-present God. Psalm 139 tells us that God is all-present. So, we want to experience God's presence. It is beyond me the fact. I don't care about anymore that God is present, because we all know that. Now, I want to experience that in my life, and I want you to experience that in your life. Don't you? Don't you want to experience God's presence all around you, all the time? I do, and I know you do too. It will change how you live your life. It will change that day for you if you pray all day, God, I want to experience your presence. So, this week, as you read it, pray that prayer. Not only read it, pray. Ask God. Be consistently asking God, I want to see your presence. Reveal yourself to me. I want to see you. Please, God, throughout this day, I want to see you. I want to feel you. Please, God, help me. Help me be in touch with your presence. I promise you, it's going to make a whole lot of difference on how you live that day. Maybe this morning you don't know God. Maybe you just walk in here through the doors and you're like, I don't know this God, but you're talking about him. Maybe I want to know him more. Listen, I would love to start that journey of knowing God with you. I'll be up front. You can come and I'll pray with you and get you to start understanding who God is. Maybe you have been in the church for so long and you're like, Sam, I have all this intellectual knowledge of God, but I haven't moved from the mind to the heart yet. I want that. I want to take that step. And I would love to pray with you that the Holy Spirit of God would help you into moving through from that step of mind to the heart. And I would love to be there with you through it. Maybe it's much more than that. You want to live in a way that demonstrates your love for God. And one of the ways to do that is being baptized. Maybe you want to be baptized because you know of your love for God and you want people to see it. Don't wait anymore. Come forward. I'd love to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in demonstration of your love for God. I'll be up front as the worship team continues to sing and as we meditate on knowing God.